Right, very good evening, and welcome all of you to the first theme message for the retreat. The retreat is entitled Shining Forth as Lights in This Crooked and Perverse Nation. Right, it's a rather long title. It's taken from Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. Right, Philippians 2:15 says that he may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. This evening, before we get to Philippians chapter 2 itself, from which the rest of the next four messages will be from, I want to first go to Ephesians chapter 5. And I would like to have this by way of sort of an introduction on the topic of why must we shine? Well, why is it important that we shine forth as lights? Okay, and that will be from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 to verse 14. So it's quite a long passage. Maybe let us read responsively, right? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 to verse 14, and then we'll begin the message, right? I'll begin. Ephesians 5, verse 1. And be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering, and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named amongst you, as becometh saints. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, no covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. It is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. He saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. We thank God for the reading of his holy, precious, sacred word. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious, loving Father in heaven, we thank thee for gathering us this evening for the first message of this retreat, for the first theme message. Lord, as we consider what it means to shine forth as lights for thee, we pray that thou will guide us, help us to come before thy word with humble submission, ready to receive thy message, ready to examine our hearts, our lives, to see if we are indeed shining forth for thee. And Lord, we pray for this time that we have together. May thy Holy Spirit guide us, teach us from thy holy word. We commit all of us here, gathered into thy hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So why must we shine? What does it mean to shine? You see, the way light works, I'm no physicist, but I learned a little bit in school. You see, light has to come, or rather, you know, the darkness happens because of the absence of light, right? When there is no light, there is darkness. But when a light shines, that is what dispels the darkness. It is necessary for one to shine, not in a place that is brightly lit, right? If I take out a torch in a place like this, I mean, there are lights everywhere. I mean, you'll hardly see the beam, right? I'll wave it around, but it's to none effect. It will not illumine this place any more than it previously was without the torch. But if we were to just step outside into the dark, right? Maybe not in an urban Sydney area, but perhaps going out into a much more rural area where there is very little ambient light. Now, even the weakest torch can have a drastic effect on the environment around you. Because suddenly things that you're just simply not able to see with your eyes will now be lit, and then you can see. You will have sight. That's the effect that light has in the midst of darkness. And we ask, why must we shine? Well, the title of the whole theme message extends to say, well, this is a perverse, it's a crooked nation or world or age. And indeed, that is so. We live in a very sinful time. And that is often in the Bible characterized as darkness. The Lord Jesus Christ describes himself as he came to this earth as the light of the world. And he says, the light shone in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended him not. The world, it is all its sin and its worldliness and its corruption and its perverseness. It is characterized or described as darkness. And we, as the children of God, we are also described as the children of light. And our calling is to shine forth in the darkness of this world. And simply put, I mean, that is why we must shine. This world is a wicked place. I think we all acknowledge that. I hope we know that. I hope we realize that. That this world is not a friendly place to believers. It is not a place that is conducive to be a Christian. Why? Because the corruption of the world will continually assail us. The desire of the God of this world is for us to walk not in the light, but to walk in darkness. And so since the fall, we have been lost in sin. Since the fall of man, this world has been, as it were, plunged into darkness. And since then, men have been continually devising more and more ways to become more and more sinful, to go deeper into wickedness, into depravity. That is the state that we are in. That was how it was before God had to destroy the world with a flood. He said, well, the sin of this world is just evil continually. And I like to just wash the whole planet clean, everything out, and start anew. But very soon after that, the world just went back into darkness. By the time of the Tower of Babel, people had turned away from God. So fast. And God had to restart again. Divide everyone, separate everyone. Hopefully, that some will be able to continue in the light, to continue in righteousness and holiness. But we know the history of Israel. So many dark spots, dark periods of times, where even the people of God, Israel, also descended deep into darkness. You read of the times in the book of Judges, sort of terrible sin and wickedness that these people who were supposedly the children of God, the people of God, committed throughout the period of kings, throughout their history, to the New Testament. And now, here in the writings of the Apostle Paul, he also surveys the world around him and he says, well, do not be a part of it. Why? Because this world is in sin. But we know that through Christ we have a way out. And we now have the ability to walk as children of light. And that is what Paul calls us here to do. That now that you are saved, you must realize the difference, the distinction that you must have. That the world is a dark place. But you, as Christians, as the children of light, you have this responsibility to shine. And these are the few thoughts that we want to have as we consider, right? What does it mean to shine for God? The first thought here that we have from verse 1 and verse 2 is, well, to know about God, to know your God, and the fact that, well, Christ is the light. And so he tells us, be therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love, as Christ hath also have loved us and have given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. So, you know, he sets forth Christ to us. He says, you look to Christ. He is now your example. Okay? If you understand the book of Ephesians, especially from chapter 4 onwards, it talks about a whole series of walks, right? Ways that you must live, the ways that you conduct yourself in this world. And it begins by saying, walk worthy of the vocation wherever you are called. You have to be sure that I am saved and my life reflects that. And one of the ways that we understand that is, well, negatively speaking, walk not as other Gentiles walk. You see that in verse 17. Walk not, chapter 4, verse 17, walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds. They are in darkness. But positively speaking, then he says, well, walk in love. And, well, how do I know what it means to walk in love? Where is my benchmark, my standard? Well, Christ. As Christ hath loved us. And how do you measure his love? I mean, we considered that this morning as well. Of what he gave up, right? Of how he hath given himself for us, an offering, freely he offered himself up as a sacrifice, as a painful sacrifice to God, in order to appease his wrath, in order that it will be a sweet-smelling savior, or something that was acceptable to God. And then now he says, well, take Christ as your example. Know, firstly, your God. That's why we must shine. Because our God is shining. Because Christ is the light. And he is our gold standard. That's how the Lord Jesus Christ described himself, isn't it? As he came to this world, that I am the light of the world. And as his light shone on this world, the darkness of the world, they shied back. They said, I couldn't understand. Who is this light? But those that were believers, those that understood, the light that shone upon them was an illumining light. Help them to understand. Help them to see the error and the sin of their ways. Help them to repent and then to change. Well, that's the effect that the light has. Well, Christ is our light. And then in verse 1, he says, be followers of God. Now, the word followers here really is the Greek word from which we get the English word mimic. And it has this idea there. Be mimics of God. Take him as your example. And everything that you know about God and who God is and how he is, well, it's evident through Christ. Well, that's how you live. That's how you walk. That's how you pattern your lives. And it's interesting, he brings up as like children. You know, the interesting thing about children is that they are natural mimics. Sometimes you see that. In some children more than others, perhaps. But, you know, as you observe the way that children are, and you notice certain mannerisms, you know, the way they talk, the way they carry themselves, even their posture, right? And then you sort of know the person well. Then one day you finally meet the parents and you say, oh, I see. Yep, okay, yeah. I recognize that, you know, that grin, that little grimace, you know, that maybe even just a twitch of a shoulder or the way that he walks, you know, things like that, right? And it's a very subconscious thing. It's not that the child deliberately watched and observed and he says, okay, you're going to stand this way. No, he's just sort of, because he's around the parents so much and he respects them, he looks up to them, he sort of naturally just becomes like them, all right? And that's how he says, be followers of God as dear children of his. The more that you know God, well, you want to be like him. You want to be like Christ. Just as how Christ loved, well, that is how we want to love. We want to reflect and show forth the light of God, the light of Christ. That becomes the benchmark, the standard, well, of the light that we shine as well. Because of who God is. Because of how he is perfect. Of his works. Of the way that he loved us. He says, well, you love like him as well. You walk in that love. But after that, he continues on with a warning. From verse 3 to verse 7, he says, well, know your environment. Well, know your God first, that he is the light. But then at the same time, know your environment, that the world is a dark, dark place. So from verse 3 to verse 7, he gives us a whole series of warnings of the sort of behavior, the sort of lifestyles, the sort of prevailing attitudes that the world has, and he says, you be very careful of them. Okay? So what is it? He says, now we watch out, fornication, uncleanness, all uncleanness, or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints. He says, you are to be saints. What does it mean to be a saint? It really intrinsically has this idea of being separate, of being apart, of being different. But you see, you know, the world, it's full of these lusts. It's full of these sexual sins. Right? That's really the category of what is being described here. Fornication. Right? The same word from which we get the root word porn. Pornography. Porneia. Right? This word for fornication. And uncleanness is more a general category for anything that is filthy, unclean, and all the sins that are associated with that. Covetousness then becomes even a broader category of desiring something that, well, it's not for you to have, right? And I mean, fornication and uncleanness, they're all sort of a subset of covetousness. Inordinate desires, basically, that's what all these three words put together speak of. Of wanting things that you should not have. But yet that is how this world is built on, right? Of this desire for more, of this lust and this ambition for more and more, whatever it is, whatever it may be. Specifically, what do we see a lot of? Well, we see a lot of desire or craving for forbidden pleasures of the sexual nature, sensual pleasures. You see that in the entertainments around you. In the movies, in the TV shows, in this whole multi-billion-dollar industry, right, of what they would euphemistically say, adult entertainment, which is really, well, fornication, the promotion of sexual sins. Well, that's what the world is thriving on. That's what the world celebrates. That is what the world is so unashamedly proud of. We celebrate our liberty. They call it pride. We celebrate our pride. And the world loves it. The world is unashamed. Well, this is art, they say. Oh, this is just harmless entertainment. Oh, you such prudes. We are more mature than that. We can control ourselves, right? We are not like you, so easily given over to lust. No, it's just entertainment. That's what the world speaks of. That's how the world, that's what the world surrounds themselves with. All these sort of behavior, whereby in the past, adultery, that was something taboo, now it's normal. Now it's fine. Now it's just an alternate lifestyle. And I believe you know more than me about the way the whole LGBT movement is blossoming. Not in a good way. It is now something, again, celebrated. It is something that the world promotes to the point where the moment you speak up against that, oh, you're in trouble. Hate speech. Oh, you're intolerant. Oh, what a bigot. That's what the world is. They are going further and further into darkness with all these uncleanness. And so Paul says, let it not once be named among you. Don't even go near. Don't even allow yourselves to be in a situation where you might be tempted by all these things. And you must realize, you know, in the context in which Paul was speaking, I mean, he was in the era or the age of the beginning of the Roman Empire. And if you know anything about their history, it was also a time period that was not quite different from what we have today. But the lifestyles of especially the rich and the powerful were that which so freely and so carelessly engaged in all these sort of behaviors as well. It was terrible. It was a very immoral period of time. And Paul knew that. Paul saw that, and he told the Christians, be careful of the darkness of this time. And of course, it goes without saying that we as Christians in this time period must also be on guard. Be very, very careful. But it's no longer safe to just sit you know, on the couch in the evening to sort of mindlessly surf through the channels. Well, I guess nowadays it's not so much with a remote control on the TV, it's on the internet, right? Just going through social media, scrolling through your feeds, right? Of just allowing the videos on YouTube to just sort of, you know, play the next one, or just, you know, look down and whatever catches your eye, you click, you watch, you peruse, or Netflix, or whatever streaming services you have. It's all so convenient now. It's all just there, ready for you, right? And I would say it's even more dangerous now than ever. Because in the past, at least, I mean, TV, you had to wait for the programs to turn up, right? And that was at least a measure of censorship. At least that's how it was for me growing up when I was in Singapore, when I was young. I mean, there were certain things that you just simply wouldn't ever see on TV. But now it's so readily available, all through the internet, through all these streaming services, through YouTube, and whatever other social media outlets there are. It's all there. And the Bible says this world is in darkness. And if we do not shine, right, our light is in danger of being snuffed out. And we will be in the darkness, no different from the rest of the world. But we are saints. And so he says, do not even allow it to be once named among you. And then he goes on, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient. The nature of the things that he talks about, you can say maybe sounds not so serious, right? Fornication, yeah, I know, yeah, it's bad, right? Yeah, I know that, you know, uncleanness is terrible, right? Those things, sinful, okay, I'll stay away from. But filthiness, okay, that seems quite bad as well. Foolish talking, jesting. I mean, that just simply means jokes, right? What's wrong with jokes? What's wrong with some comedy? What's wrong with some, you know, entertainment, amusement? Well, again, it's true, right, that there are times in which there is a place for us to have some light banter, to have some jokes, you know, to sit around and chit-chat in that sort of way. But what he's warning us is that, you know, if we just pursue after these things mindlessly, and that is all that we seek after, entertainment, right? If you just continually go after these sort of entertainments, and that's all you care for, he says, that is not right. That is not becoming. That is not fitting. Right? That's the idea of the word convenient here. Well, convenient is, I mean, it doesn't have this idea of, well, you know, it's not easy, right? Convenient, or that's something that is, you know, easy for me to do. No, it has this idea of, well, that is not fitting. It's not fitting for the behavior of Christians. Similar to the thought before, that it is not becoming of that which is saints. You see, that type of lifestyle, where all we care about is the pursuit of fun, of entertainment. And for them, that was what they had, right? Jesting, foolish talking, sitting around, chit-chatting. He says, well, you know, that sort of lifestyle, it just runs contrary to what it means to, well, be a child of God, to be a saint. That when we engage in all these activities and we just spend our times in foolish conversation or just listening, right, to you know, nowadays there are all these talk shows or these stand-up comedies. And yeah, it's fun for a while, but, well, what's the meaning and what's the point of all these things? And so he's saying, well, why? Why do you surround yourself with all these filthy, foolish entertainments? And more often than not, these are foolish. These are filthy talkings as well. Where the way that the world works is that they throw in something crude, they throw in something vulgar, and that's what gets more laughs, that's what draws the crowd, that's what grants it greater entertainment value. He says, do not be that way. Because that is, well, the way that these godless people live. Because there is nothing more in their life. Right? And all they want to do is just surround themselves with fun and laughter. And maybe that can take away the emptiness of their lives. That is how the world has been. And oftentimes you realize that this is actually a function of a more you can say, developed or a more affluent society. When people are not engaged in hard work, when people have, well, free time, or sort of a luxury that, you know, perhaps our parents or maybe two or three generations ago, they just simply did not have such a concept, right? To have hours and hours on end finding things to fill their times with. They were busy. They were engaged. They were exhausted and tired at the end of each workday. But now, with all the, you know, modern conveniences and all the modern inventions that we have, well, a lot of labor is taken out of our hands, and we have time. And with this time, what are we going to do with it? Foolish talking? Jesting? This is not appropriate, Paul says, for the believer. This is what a dark world seeks after. When they have time on their hands, and they want to fill it with something which they find meaningful or they find entertaining, and what will they do? Well, they just laugh. What the phrase is, they amuse themselves to death. That is the bane of our society. That is the dark, crooked, and perverse nation or age or time period that we are living in, surrounded with all these sort of temptations. And if we are not careful, that's what becomes of us as well. And we just allow ourselves to just go with the flow, follow the drift. This is what the world does. It's fun, it's nice, it's enjoyable, and that's what I'll do as well. You go to school, you go to work, and that's all they talk about. The entertainments of the weekend. Or what fun did you have? How did you spend this long weekend? How many shows did you watch? How many games did you play? What are you caught up with right now? So they all have their chatter. And there's friends in school. They talk about the latest games that they're playing, or maybe they're playing it together. And you want in. You want to be a part of them. But be very careful. Paul warns, this is the darkness of this world, of this age. And that is not for us to do, because what is going to happen to them? Or rather, he says, no, these are not convenient. You ought to spend your time in the giving of thanks. You ought to be spend time in your relationship with God. That's what we use our mouths and our lips for. Not these foolish talkings, not jesting, but, well, rather praising God, worshiping Him as an instrument of praise. For this you know, verse 5, he goes on to say that no whoremonger, no unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God, of Christ and of God. Now you notice that verse 5 and verse 6, right? He speaks of the people that are engaged in the sins he describes in verse 3 and verse 4. So there's a parallel of sorts, right? In verse 3, he talked about the sin itself, right? The sin of fornication, of uncleanness, of covetousness. And now he speaks of the individuals, the people, the types of people that are involved in it. Right, a person that engages in fornication, he's a whoremonger. Uncleanness, an unclean person. Covetousness, a covetous man. He says, you see, these sort of people, and then verse 6, right? Vain words, the people that engage in foolish talking, in jesting. He says, upon these people, it is the wrath of God. They are children of disobedience. They have no inheritance, no part in the kingdom of Christ and of God. He says, you see, this is how the world functions. The world that is lost in darkness. And the people of the world, they are engaged in the sins of this world. Covetousness. Is it terrible? Is it that bad to be covetous? To want a bit more in this life? He says, yes, because it can very quickly lead to idolatry. Because what is idolatry? Having or worshipping something as your God in a place of God. Right, idols of the heart. And it begins with covetousness. When you want something so much, it becomes your God. And anything can become an idol. Your family can become an idol. Your loved ones. Well, when they take the place of God in your life, and you make decisions for them instead of for God, well, they become an idol. Your work can become an idol. Your leisure, your entertainments, your hobbies can become an idol. Your games, your TV shows, your movies, they can all become an idol.
when it takes over your life, and it is, as it were, you are worshiping them instead of worshiping God. These are your idols. It begins with covetousness. When you desire them over your desire to seek God. And so he says, be very careful, because the people that engage in such, there is no place for them in heaven. Because their lives are characteristic of one who is not saved. A person who knows Christ, who knows God, he will not habitually and continually engage in all these vices. It's just not becoming of saints. It's just not characteristic of what a Christian is. And therefore, he says, be ye not partakers with them. Stop. If you are previously, stop. If you have not, well, don't even begin. It's a very strong injunction that he gives here. He says, make sure that this is not who you are, because you are now saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so therefore, stop. Stop being a partaker of any of these sort of behavior. But what are we? The third thought, know your identity. First, you know your God. You know that God is light. You know your environment. You know that you are in darkness. That this world is in darkness. But what is our identity? He says, you were sometimes darkness. Yes, that's what you used to be. Right? Before you became a Christian, you didn't know better. Covetousness was fine. What's wrong with a bit of ambition? These sort of sins were fine. What's wrong with a bit of entertainment? But now, ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And he says, well, you must realize your new identity, your identity in Christ. Now you have been cleansed, you have been saved. And your life must have a completely different direction. Has that happened in your life? Where you looked at the way that you used to be. You look at your old life. You look at the sort of fun that you used to regard as fun. You look at the sort of things that you used to spend your time with. And you look upon it not with fondness, not with this wistful thinking, wistfulness to think, ah, those were the days. Ah, those were fun times. No. You look back with shame. You look back with regret. And he says, yes, I was sometimes in darkness, but no, now I am light in the Lord. My life has been changed. I have been illumined by the light of the Lord. I've been purified, washed, and cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I am to shine. I'm to shine as light in the Lord, walk as children of light. Because I have the Holy Spirit working within me. And my life ought to reflect the fact that I am now a Christian. And so the fruit of the Spirit, well, it ought to result in goodness, in righteousness, in truth. And my life is now a demonstration of what is acceptable unto the Lord. What is good, what is pleasing unto the Lord. That now becomes my benchmark. No longer the world's standard, not what the world engages in, not what the world finds acceptable or right or pleasing or fine. Now my standard is God, His holiness, His righteousness, and I pursue after those things. And I will seek to now go after goodness. And we realize good in the absolute sense. Moral excellence, that's the idea behind goodness. Right? Not just good as the median between average and, well, not so bad, a little bit better, and so good is sort of like an average. No, good is not average. Good, here, in the context of this phrase, goodness is moral excellence. Well, that's the fruit of the Spirit. Your life will be changed. And your life will now seek after the righteousness and the holiness and the perfection of God. Righteousness. Whose righteousness? God's righteousness now becomes my benchmark. You remember? I am now to be a follower of God. I'm to be a mimic of Him. And so as righteous as He is, be perfect as He is perfect. And truth, absolute truth, the truth of God's word. These are now the measurements that I use to measure my life. And that is what it means to walk as children of light. That is what 1 John tells us, isn't it? This then is the message that we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. No darkness, no sin whatsoever. Perfection. And if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then yes, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all our sin. That now is the new life that you must live. But you walk in the light as he is in the light. You are children of light. Walk in the light of the Lord. And he says that is how we must shine. That we show forth this righteousness, this goodness, this truth. Where you will look at the sins of the past and you will look at the sins of the world and you say, no more. I do not want to be a partaker with them. I do not want to have anything to do with these sins. I do not want to even go near them. Why? Because I am now a child of light. My life ought to reflect the light of God. That's our role now. That's the duty that is in place upon us. That is the new identity that I have. What is light? Well, light is the absence of darkness, isn't it? When there is light, there can no longer be darkness there anymore. And so he says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So he says, have nothing more with all these unfruitful works of darkness, because the fruit of the Spirit is what we ought to manifest. And when we allow the darkness to come back into our lives and overwhelm us, well, that snuffs out the light and it causes us to be unfruitful. It causes us to no longer be that effective testimony for the Lord. And he says, no, rather reprove them, rebuke them, speak against them. Right? That's the meaning of the word reprove here. And that's a duty that we must have now. That as we walk in the light, we must stay far, far away from the darkness as possible. That is, I mean, basically that's what light is, right? And if we want to be shine, if we want to shine forth, we want to be more effective, we want to shine brighter, that means we have to avoid the darkness or not allow the darkness to come in and reduce the light that we have, to reduce the effectiveness of the light that shines. And how can that be? It is not our innate light. It is not the light that we have. We realize that this light, well, is given to us from God, right? Christ is the one that gives us this light. And realize, in actual fact, we are not actual light sources, but perhaps we can rather think of it as being a mirror, right? Reflecting the brightness on the light of God. Christ is the one that shines. He is the true light. And as his children, we are walking in the light and therefore reflections of his light. And that's what we must do. And that's why we can have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. We must not go anywhere near them. Because if we claim to be children of light, if we claim to be believers and yet we walk in darkness, the Bible says you lie and do not the truth. It's a contradiction. How can you say that you are on one hand still a Christian, a believer, and yet you just plunge into the entertainments of the world, you're fully enjoying it, and you feel nothing? You say, yeah, that's fine. This is my lifestyle, right? Who are you to judge? Who are you to say anything? Well, this is my choice. I know I'm saved, you say. I know because I said that sinner's prayer then. I know because I believe in Jesus. But Jesus has given me liberty. I can do whatever I want. That's what some Christians say today, right? And you have no right to judge me, right? Jesus said, don't judge, so you don't judge me, right? And you know, I'm free. It's between me and God. You know, people like to say that. Really? If you really examine your heart, examine your life, and ask yourselves, are you walking in darkness? Are you an effective light shining forth as a testimony for him? Are you having fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness? He says that is not how a child of light behaves. In fact, he says it is a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret, in darkness of the night. And we know that, well, oftentimes that's where vice takes place, in the cover of darkness, in secret. hoping that no one will know, no one will see. I just keep it a secret. Paul says, that is a shame. Those things that people do, these unfruitful works of darkness. He says, it is a shame to even speak about these things. And yet you call yourselves a child of light and you want to have fellowship with them? You want to be a part of them? You want to do all these things? He says, no. Do not even allow yourselves to be tempted by them. Not to mention directly participate in these vices, in these sins, in these corrupt practices of this world. He says, now this world is not a pleasant place. Instead, when you shine, what happens? Verse 13, he says, all these things are reproved, that are reproved are made manifest by the light. Now what does that talk of? He says, you see, these unfruitful works of darkness, you must reprove them, right? You must rebuke them. You must reveal them or expose them for the sin that they are. That's your duty. How does that happen? Not by being darkness. Not by associating yourselves in the darkness, but rather shining on them. So it's sort of an extended analogy here. He says, you see, all these sins, it is as it were like a patch of darkness, right? Under a shade, perhaps. Under in a cave, in a dark rock. The sort of picture is there. And he says, you do not enter in, you do not have fellowship with them, you do not have anything to do with them. But rather, he says, how are they reproved? How are they exposed? How are these sins shown to be the wickedness that they are? They are reproved by the light. They are made manifest, meaning they are exposed or revealed by the light. For whatever doth make manifest is light. So he says, how is darkness dispelled? How is darkness exposed? Well, you shine the light on them. You bring a powerful light and you beam it upon that darkness, and that darkness gets exposed. And the shameful things of them that are done in secret will be made known. What is this light? It is the light of Christ. It is, well, the light that we have from Christ, who is the living word, his word. We also see sometimes that not just Christ himself, but his word is also characterized as light. A lamp unto our feet, a guide unto my path. And he says, as you shine for Christ, as you live this testimony, as you maintain this upright life, you become a beacon of light. You become this light that exposes the darkness around you. Practically, what does that mean? It may be offensive to the people around you when you insist on maintaining your Christian values. You insist on saying that, well, I will not allow myself to be corrupted by this sort of immoral behavior. I will never allow any sort of immoral behavior or activity. I will never do that. I will never take a bribe, for example. I will never use any underhanded means to close any business deal. Right? I will not follow you out on that Friday evening, on the Saturday evening, to go drinking or clubbing or whatever it is that, you know, the people here do. I will not be a part of your group. Why? And then you share your testimony. You share the gospel. You share what Christ desires of us from his word. You tell them. And that light that shines forth from you will make manifest and reprove and rebuke their sinful lifestyles. People like it. People don't like to be called out. He says, what, you think you're holier than us? You think you're better than us? Fine. They get offended. But so be it. That is what your light can do, and that's what your light must do. It must be a light that shines against these unfruitful works of darkness, and when people feel and experience it, yes, they will be revealed. But that becomes our testimony. That becomes our light, that we shine. Now, is that what we are doing? And the people around us, they engage in foolish talking, jesting. They start to crack these unsavory jokes. And everyone else around you laughs and they say, what's wrong with you? Why are you frowning? You say, well, I do not approve. This is not right. You are taking the name of my God in vain. When they influence you or they try to push certain, some sort of vices or maybe cajole you into some sort of entertainments. Or maybe you were engaged in them previously. You were with them. But now you say, well, I realize my error, I realize my sin. And he say, friends, I'm not going to join you in these games anymore. Friends, I'm sorry, I can't go with you to this or that. And I'm going to church. That becomes your light. That becomes the light that will manifest these darkness, these sins that they are engaged in. Can we do that? Can we shine forth as lights in this dark and sinful age? And therefore, and finally, in verse 14, the call comes to us. Wherefore, he says, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead. He says, if you are still currently in darkness, it is as it were you are sleeping, it is as it were you are lost, still lost in sin and in dead, in the deadness of the darkness of night. He says, get up, get out, wake up. That call, that challenge comes. If you are still engaged in the lusts of the world, caught up in the entertainments of the world, you are not walking in love, there is no Christ in you. He says, wake up. Wake up. Awake thou that sleepest. Arise from the dead, and Christ can give you light. Because as we come to Christ, as we turn away from the things of the world, and we seek after God, that light in you can begin to shine. And it must shine. If you call yourself a believer, you say, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, my sins are washed away. I believe in the Word of God, and I have the Holy Spirit working within me. Then yes, Christ will give you light. And that light must shine. Because that is the call that comes to us, isn't it? Let your light so shine before men that others may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We must be that light upon a hill and not hid. Will we hide it under a bushel? No. Will we veil or cover our light? That ought not to be. We must shine forth as lights. And that is how Romans 13 also describes this for us. Same thought, Romans 13 verse 11 to 14. And it says, no, and that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Wake up out of the slumber of this darkness in the world that you are in. For now is salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not rioting or in drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. That is the call that comes to all of us. Awake, thou that sleepest, and Christ shall give you light. How is our testimony like? What sort of witness are we bearing for the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we shining in this world? Or are we no different from anyone else out there, still in darkness, or worse still, perpetuating that darkness, encouraging that darkness, causing more darkness? What is our desire? For all of you here who are here at this retreat, this is our theme. This is what we want to discuss, and this is what we want to consider over the next few days. How we can be more effective, shining forth as lights for God. But I hope that this is, from the very onset, something that you desire. Because if that is not what you want, then, well, why are you here? If we do not see this call come to us, we do not realize this is our identity. This is what Christ has called us to do. Then why are we here? Do we have this desire to shine forth as lights in the darkness of this world? Understanding and realizing how dark and wicked this world is. Be cautioned, be forewarned. And will we now have this desire to say that I want my light to shine? I want to be that beacon of truth and light here in the place that God has called me to, whether in my school, my workplace, my friends, my colleagues, whoever God has placed in your life, you must shine as lights to them. Because for some of them, that may be only opportunity that they will ever have to see Christ through you. Will you shine forth as lights? Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious, loving Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this evening and gathering us together once again to hear Thy word. And that this call that comes ringing to all of us, that we will shine forth as lights. I pray that You help us to heed this call, to answer this calling that Thou hast set before all of us. That we, as children of light, will shine forth as lights for Thee in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation. Knowing that we are surrounded by sin, vice, a godlessness in this world. My Lord, may You use us to be that beacon, to shine forth from Thee, with the gospel light that we all have already received. Lord, we pray that Thou help us over the next few days as well as we consider more about what it means to shine for Thee. We pray that Thy word will convict our hearts, change us, mold us. And that as we leave this retreat, we will be brighter lights, more effective, shining for Thee. And so we thank Thee for this evening. We commit this night and the rest of this retreat into Thy hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.